Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Oh, we're not done. No, we're not done with the what was a devastating IG report. Again, if you actually read it and distilled out the facts in the report rather than the opinions. Oh, it was devastating. We're not done with that. One of the big questions yesterday we didn't get to was what was the insurance policy? Well, we kind of got to it at the end, but we will get to that today. Of course, Michael Horowitz is testifying right now as we record up on Capitol Hill. We will definitely have some highlights from that tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe, how are you today after that information-filled show yesterday?
What a show that was, too. I'm doing good.
Thank you, buddy. I know you like it.
We ain't done. Yeah.
No. And someone wrote something on Twitter. I do follow your Twitter. We do a lot of micro-targeting. So whenever you mention my name, I see it. And someone wrote, the Dan Bongino Show is great. Come for the sarcasm, stay for the facts. So I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. Fits really well with Joe's, everything you need to know in an hour tagline. So we certainly appreciate that. I know Joe does too. All right, folks, let's get right to it because we have some really, really explosive stuff for you. Great video. Rachel Maddow melting down. We'll play that at the end too. Today's show brought to you by our buddies at Quip. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that feeling when you get out of a dental cleaning where you're like, man, my teeth feel clean. What if you could feel that way every single day? I do. You know why? I have a Quip. Quip, Q-U-I-P. They make the best electric toothbrush. And they want you to know that the single discovery that matters most for your dental care is this. If you have good dental hygiene habits, you're good to go. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with their terrific, peerless electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide you for a full and even clean. There's no guesswork involved. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string, so you use just enough, you don't waste any. What a great idea. Yeah. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping. You'll never run out. Your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/Dan, that's getquip.com/Dan right now, you'll get your first refill pack free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/Dan. Spell GETQUIP.com/Dan. Quip, the Good Habits Company. Ladies and gentlemen, this is like a power washing for your mouth. I highly, highly recommend Quip. Obviously, use it multiple times a day. Getquip.com/Dan. Go today. All right, Joe, let's go. Nice. So, Bill Barr, before I get to the insurance policy, we now know pretty clearly what that was. You know, the insurance policy against Trump they were texting each other about during the election, the FBI. Before we get to that, and Rachel Maddow humiliating herself on national television again in one of the more embarrassing clips I've ever seen, I want to go quickly to what Rachel Maddow was melting down about. I want to set off the show with Attorney General Bill Barr, who made some media appearances yesterday, one with the Wall Street Journal's Gerald Baker, was it? And one on NBC with Pete Williams. We're going to go with NBC first, and Bill Barr has just had enough of this BS. He's had enough of the media spin, enough of the nonsense. This is him addressing the question of, finally, was the FBI spying on the Trump campaign? And if anybody knows, it's the Attorney General. Check out his answer and watch Pete Williams kind of like, oh, no, here we go. I didn't expect that. Check this out.
Do you still stand by your statement that the campaign was spied upon?
Well, it's clearly spied upon. I mean, that's what electronic surveillance is. I think wiring people up to go in and talk to people and make recordings of their conversations is spying. I think going through people's emails, which they did as a result of the FISA warrant, they went through everything, you know, from Page's life.
Because he wasn't in the campaign at the point where began the surveillance.
Yes, but his emails go back. I mean, the main reason they were going for the FISA warrant initially was to go back historically and see all his emails and texts and all that stuff from back months and even years. So they were covering the period that he was in the campaign, and that's exactly the reason they went for the FISA, to get that stuff.
Okay, liberal hacks and media lunatics, Listen, I'm asking you questions, not pretending to get an answer, because you're not honest, principled people. You're hacks, you're propagandists, you're liars, police staters, and you're covering for the Democrats because you're full-time activists. But pretend for a moment you're capable of an honest answer. Let me ask you the question. What did he just say that was false? No, specifically, nail it down. I'm serious. Refute one data point, not your opinion. I'm not interested in your stupid opinions. You've been proven wrong for 3 years now. Specifically, nail down what Attorney General Barr just said. What data point he put out in that answer that's false? Were FBI human sources, otherwise known as spies in common everyday language usage, not wired up recording people on the Trump campaign? Did that not happen? Did it happen or did it not? The answer is yes, it happened, you lying buffoons. Secondly, Pete Williams, who should know better and clearly doesn't, says, well, when the FISA warrant was approved for Carter Page, he wasn't on the campaign anymore. Pete, one, I'm going to get to this later. He clearly didn't read the IG report. Wait till I get to this hat tip 279 later. This before and after line about the Trump campaign. Bookmark it 6 minutes into the show.
6 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot. Joe, remember that.
6 minutes.
Because Pete Williams didn't read the report. I even circled it for Pete. Now your response would be, well, they only got to surveil Carter Page, like Pete Williams says, after, even though they tried to surveil him, even before they joined. Wow. But has Bill Barr, who is obviously a smarter man than this numbnuts, says, well, listen, Pete, I'm not sure if you understand how this works, but when you get a warrant to spy on Carter Page, you don't only get the emails he sends after the warrant. You get all of his stuff, including Joe, when he was with the Trump campaign. I know that's hard for you guys to understand because you're not real news people. You're a joke. You're an embarrassment and you're a stain on this country and the truth. I absolutely respect and acknowledge the right to a free press. I would never in my lifetime impose government restrictions on the press's right to report. That right includes the right to be dumb, of which Pete Williams and others have fully embraced the right to be stupid. You don't know that, Pete? You didn't know that when you get a FISA warrant to spy, that it retroactively covers emails sent in the past too? You were unaware of that? And you're a crime reporter? Hmm. Now, I know Pete Williams. I've met him before. Mm-hmm. A couple of times. He probably doesn't remember that. He's not a dumb guy. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that he's spinning. He's engaging in a Pravda-like gaslighting effort to make you believe what you're hearing from Bill Barr isn't true. Well, Carter Page wasn't spied until after he left the campaign. That's not how any of this works, dude. What did Bill Barr say, liberals? What did he say there that was factually incorrect? Did the FBI not send spies into the campaign wired up? Did they not get a warrant to spy on Carter Page and retroactively get his emails with the campaign? Stop humiliating yourselves by lying to America. Now, what's going to be the liberal response to this? What the liberal response always is, folks, it's never based in fact. It's never based in data. It's based in constant BS. That's all they have. They lie to you. These people are a disgrace to the country and the truth. Not all Democrats. The radical left and their media allies are single-handedly trying to destroy the Republic as you and I know it, with never-ending gaslighting campaigns based on untruths and no facts whatsoever. Look at this Washington Post headline. As if on cue from their Democrat allies, now we have to start attacking Barr. Attorney General sharpens attacks on FBI probe, dismaying some in his own department by clown Matt Saposky and Devlin Barrett, who is another joker who has zero credibility, who's actually, through his reporting, been implicated in the whole Spygate media controversy. These guys are still reporting as if nothing happened. Joe, you get the tone from the Washington Post piece after the Barr interview? Hey, a lot of people in the Justice Department It's one clown who's probably an Obama activist hiding in the Justice Department as a deep state swamp rat, taking your tax dollars to single-handedly try to destroy the Republic, like the fake whistleblower.
Barr's pissing off his own guys. He's doing
his own guys, Joe. That's Barr. Yeah. No, but keep in mind, Joe, that piece, I'm not even going to put it up. Does not refute one single thing Barr said. It simply initiates a cavalcade of personal attacks on Bill Barr meant to destroy him because the facts don't comport with your leftist political anti-American ideology. People are talking. People are talking about Barr. The piece doesn't refute anything he said. Oh, I'm not done, folks. I've got two more, Bill Barr. One is just a, you know, the golden rule of Dan Bongino show. Don't use clips over 1.5 minutes. Our third clip coming up after this one is about 2 minutes and 10 seconds. It is the best 2 minutes you're going to hear about Spygate. Barr completely, utterly, totally annihilates every single stupid leftist argument made. But before we get to that, here's why the media also will not engage on the facts. They will engage in opinion-type fake news journalism to destroy Barr, because Barr understands the media's role in Spygate was as a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party to make you believe the salacious nonsense in the dossier was true. The media was part of that. You don't believe me? Ladies and gentlemen, please, I'm not teasing for the sake of teasing the show. That's like a trick in media. Oh, stay tuned. Let me wait till I show you the headlines later from the media and tweets from people in the media who actually told you falsities and still will not apologize. Barr knows the media was part of this whole scandal. Listen to him here address that and some other things in the second part of this with Pete Williams from NBC. Check this out.
I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years. I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by an irresponsible press. And I think that there were gross abuses of FISA. An inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI. And the Attorney General's primary responsibility is to protect against the abuse of the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus and make sure that it doesn't play an improper role in our political life. That's my responsibility, and I'm going to carry it out.
You know, folks, on a personal note, I do not worship golden calves in politics, the bureaucracy, Hollywood, entertainment, sports, or anything else. I don't do it. People disappoint you, me included. We're all sinners, folks. But Bill Barr is really impressing me lately.
Yeah, man.
He does not give a damn about fake media narratives, bogus opinion page pressure on him. Bill Barr, evil guy. People don't like him. People are talking. Wink it or not. Barr, you better not look here. You better not look there. Barr's like, yeah, the media said not to look there. Let's look there now. He just summed it up, the media's role in this. For 3 years now, you've been telling us Spygate was a conspiracy theory hoax and Russian collusion was real. You got the story completely backwards on the two biggest stories of modern times. Spygate was real, and your Russian collusion hoax was a hoax the whole time, and the evidence was right in front of you. Barr knows the media played a role in this, and it is driving them wild that there is nothing, nothing the media can do about it. You can't intimidate him. You will not stop him. He is not afraid of you. He is not afraid of your opinion writers. He's not afraid of your 21-year-old snuggie-wearing snowflake sitting in mama's basement typing out their opinion pieces at Mother Jones. He doesn't care. He is going to nail these people to the wall. If there are going to be indictments, arrests, I don't know. Barr has said the legal process should not be abused. If we find crimes, we will prosecute them. If we don't, we don't. But if we find malfeasance, it will be exposed. And as I've told you in the past, I don't know. I'm not a law enforcement officer anymore. Well, no, Paula, right? Maybe. But having said that, my wife, it's a joke. Having said that, I have told you, and I mean this, I'm not expecting you to take any solace in this. I'm just telling you my experience running for office and working around the DC snobs and elitists as a Secret Service agent is nothing frightens them more. I don't even think they're scared of jail, Comey and them. I don't. They'll write a book afterwards about their jail experience and make millions. They'll spend 2 days in the slammer. Oh, but it'll be humiliating. Really? They'll be martyrs to the left. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you. And if they're crimes, they should go to jail. Their reputations mean everything to them. When history tells the story Bill Barr is about to tell in this Durham report, which we should see in 2020, in the spring, folks, there's going to be no way to cover it up. Just one quick story. I just to prove to you that sooner or later, the media is going to have to tell the real tale of what happened. I grew up in New York City. David Dinkins was the mayor of New York. He was one of the worst mayors we ever had in New York City. The media loved him, worshipped the ground he walked on. David Dinkins, David Dinkins. Who ran against David Dinkins? Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani defeated him the first time in a pretty close election. Giuliani wins by a landslide later on in his reelect effort. Folks, the media loved far-left liberal David Dinkins. About 2 years into Giuliani's second term, the media had to start to tell the truth about how bad the Dinkins years were in New York. Why, folks? Because the people who lived through the Dinkins years, Paula, remember those? Street crime everywhere, cars getting broken into. Everybody had their car broke. Everyone. I had my school bag stolen from my Ford Escort twice. They found it on the next block. Everybody, you had to get the club, and then you had to get the club for the car. Remember that, Paula? And then you had to get the thing to cover the wheel because they'd cut the steering wheel and take the club off the car. 2 years, 3 years into the Giuliani term, the media realized Giuliani had cut the crime rate in half. And even Democrats were starting to acknowledge the truth. And the media did not want to keep the egg on its face forever, continuing to defend this guy. And even they turned on Dinkins. That matters today, folks. Because, excuse me, right now, the media is still defending Spygate because there's a political penalty in 2020 if they tell you the truth. They're not going to be able to do that forever. The fact is the FBI spied. And all of these people who are using euphemism, it wasn't a spy, it was surveillance, it were confidential human sources. History is going to humiliate them. Humiliate them. And even some leftists are starting to figure that out. I'll get to that later, too. Even a Rolling Stone, I'm featuring a Rolling Stone piece on the show today.
Say what?
Some leftists, yeah, are starting to figure this out that, man, are we on the wrong side of this disaster? Some. The rest of them will be humiliated later on. Trust me. So will Comey, McCabe, Brennan, Clapper, Lisa Page, Sally Yates, all of the people involved in this. Smile a little bit. I'm telling you, it's coming. All right. Before I get to this 2 minute video, let me get to this because this is going to be a 2 minute video of Bill Barr where he sums up the devastating IG report. The conclusions weren't, again, the conclusions were a whitewash, no doubt. The facts inside, which I'm going to get to some more of them in a minute, are devastating. I'm going to get to Bill Barr in a minute. Let me just get through. We have great sponsors. They want to be here, and I really appreciate their time. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show also brought to you by our buddies at OMAX. So last night, I'm sitting there. We were watching Below Deck something. Was it Below Deck Med or whatever it was? One of those shows. Captain Lee, right? Or I always call him Captain Stan. I get his name. I love Captain Lee. So watch the show, and Paula says, hey, my neck hurts. Can you go get the cryo freeze? Hey, that's not the read, brother. So OMAX Cryo Freeze. Just please go. There we go. Please go get the OMAX Cryo Freeze for my neck. You can leave that here. So listen, you're an athlete, you're a weekend warrior, someone deals with constant joint pain like me, or muscle soreness, or arthritis. I've got that. Finding a natural remedy that instantly works may seem non-existent. Most of these over-the-counter pain relievers, such as Icy Hot and Bengay, only focus on one basic cooling effect, such as menthol, which temporarily takes your mind off the pain until the pain returns in an hour or so. Paula told me last night, I don't want any of that stuff. Go get me this. Go get me OMAX's Cryo Freeze. Look at it. Looks like a little roll-on. You roll it on, and I'm telling you in minutes, how great did you feel after it? She loves it. Everybody in my house loves this stuff. They can't send us enough of it. We love it. You're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, and you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief at CryoFreeze with their CBD, developed by OMAX Health. This non-prescription, triple action, pain relief roll-on right there. This stuff is like gold to me. It's specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part, 100%, it's 100% natural. Natural. CBD-powered remedy works in magic within 10 minutes, in my case, even less of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours. How does your neck feel today? There you go. No pain. Much longer than over-the-counter projects. Super easy to throw in your gym bag. Take on the go for emergency pain relief. Simply roll it over where it hurts, just like this, and ice out the pain with the Arctic Blast. You will love, love, love this stuff. The feedback on this is phenomenal. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze Pain Relief Roll-On, plus free shipping. Discount also applies towards any product on the entire site. Just go to Omax, OmaxHealth.com today and enter code Bongino to take advantage of the incredible savings. That's OmaxHealth.com, enter code Bongino to get 20% off site-wise. Looking to relieve your muscle and joint pain within 15 minutes? Need a natural, powerful solution? Try CryoFreeze's Pain Relief Roll-On. Quick absorbing, scientifically backed formula provides pain relief instantly. And if pro athletes use it, well, it must work. Go to omaxhealth.com, enter code Bongino, take advantage of this incredible savings. Omaxhealth.com, enter code Bongino, B-O-N-G-I-N-O, get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. Don't let your muscle soreness continue to be an excuse for getting away from an active lifestyle. Go to omaxhealth.com and feel relief faster. All right, getting back to the show. So without further ado, here is Bill Barr talking to the Wall Street Journal. And he addresses, I think, in 2 minutes, the best summation of how devastating the information in the IG report, if you actually read it, I'm not talking about the conclusions, was. Again, I don't like playing long clips, but this is 100% worth your time. Check this out.
This is the meat of the issue. And if you actually spend time to look at what happened, I think you'd be appalled. Remember, they say, okay, we're not going to go and talk to the campaign. We're going to send people in, wire them up, and have them talk to the individuals. That happened. That happened in August, September, and October, and it all came back exculpatory. People say, I don't know what you're talking about. Not only exculpatory as to a relationship with the Russians, but as to the specific facts. And that, A, they never did anything about that. They just pressed ahead. But B, they never informed the court. They were told they didn't have probable cause to get a warrant, and so they took the Steele dossier, which they had done nothing to verify, and they used that to get the warrant, to just collapse everything. They withheld from the court all the exculpatory information, and they withheld from the court information about the lack of reliability of Steele. The real interesting thing here, and to me the major takeaway, actually is after the election. Because in January, they went to Steele was dealing with one person. He only talked to one person, and that's what we call the primary subsource. And it was that person who had the so-called network of subsources. When they finally got around to talking to him, he said, "I don't know what Steele's talking about. I didn't tell him this stuff." Or it was mostly barroom talk and rumor. I made it clear to him this was my own suppositions and theories, and. And at that point, it was clear that the dossier was a sham. So what happens? What happens at that point? They don't tell the court, and they continue to get FISA warrants based on that dossier. And more damning is that they actually filed with the court a statement saying, we talked to the subsource, and we found him credible and cooperative. And they put that in to bolster
when the subsource had actually said what
he was being truthful about is that the dossier was garbage.
Again, folks, this is the Attorney General. Now, whatever your personal feelings are about him, liberals are obviously typically guided by emotion, hatred for anyone who doesn't subscribe to their damning political ideology. They probably hate Bill Barr. I mean, literally hate him because that's what they do. That's all they do. They're guided by emotion, not facts. Do you really believe he's risking his reputation in the books of history to tell you what he just told you and that's all false? What part of, again, because we're going to do facts here. I know liberals have a tough time with this. While that was playing, I took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a ton of tidbits in there, but just for the sake of brevity and time. So rather than giving a defensive briefing to the Trump campaign about possible Russian infiltration, like they've done for pretty much everyone else, Dianne Feinstein, the John McCain campaign, all of that stuff, rather than doing that, they actually wired up FBI sources and sent them into the campaign instead. When those sources returned with information of the Trump campaign's innocence, they omitted it and hid it. Again, what part of that didn't happen? Did you read the report, Libs? If you didn't read the report, just ignore and turn off the show now. If you read the report, tell me what part of that didn't happen. Oh, it did. Yes, that's right. Second, that when they talked to Steele's not even the source, although we were told he was the source. As I told you a long time ago, hat tip Andy McCarthy, there's no vicarious credibility. If you are a source for information, you have to be credible. Chris is not the source. Chris Steele had other sources. He was an aggregator of sources. Even then, making this even worse, Steele's not the source, and they said he was. The sources he used tossed off the stuff as just rumors and barroom talk. In other words, not serious information. The FBI swore it was all true and verified. Nice work, fellas. Then we find out again there was no defensive briefing given. Then we find out that they wired up people in the campaign. And then we find out that when they went to the court to renew the FISA warrant, after speaking to the subsources who told them the information was rumor, innuendo, beer, barroom talk over beers, and had zero corroboration, they told the court that the subsources had indicated the information was true. Nothing to see here, media. You're right. It was a total vindication for the FBI.
Yeah.
Nice job, fellas. Well done. Very well done. Knocked it out of the park, didn't you? That is the best 2 minutes I've heard yet. And should warm you a little bit that the Durham report, because Barr knows what's in it. He knows what John Durham, the United States attorney investigating this with actual subpoena power. He knows exactly what Durham has. All right, folks, let's move on. I got to give a big hat tip here also to 279, my source. I'm just if you see me on the side, I'm just following the whole left-wing response to our lawsuit yesterday is just, again, continue to attack and double down. It's just bizarre. I just addressed that yesterday. It's just crazy. One quick note before I go on. The Bongino Report, the conservative alternative to the Drudge Report, is arrived. It's been up for a week. Thank you, BonginoReport.com. BonginoReport.com for the best conservative news of the day. If you'd like to be updated on our stories, the progress of the Bongino Report, please subscribe to my newsletter, Bongino.com/newsletter. Bongino.com/newsletter. We will send you the best stories of the day. We will link to the podcast. We really appreciate all the support of our newsletter, Bongino.com/newsletter, and BonginoReport.com for the best news of the day. We announced our person of the year today. Our person of the year is not Greta Thunberg. It is Devin Nunes. So you can read that article too. It'll be in the show notes. Subscribe, Bongino.com/newsletter. Go check it out. Okay. So one of the big questions left unanswered during yesterday's show, a hat tip 279er, is what was the insurance policy about? Ladies and gentlemen, now I'm going to need Joe, audience ombudsman, and Paula to back me up on this. I don't think this is super complicated what it was, okay, but I want to be sure when we're done with this segment, you understand in crystal clear fashion what I'm talking about. Now, what was the insurance policy referencing first? Well, let's put up the text and the date of it. The date of the text is obvious. It's August 15th. You can see it right here if you're watching on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Bongino. August 15, 2016. There is a text between Peter Stroke, FBI agent investigating Trump, and Lisa Page, FBI lawyer who he's having an affair with. They're texting each other. And the text on August 15th, remember that date, August 15th, the text reads as such. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, talking about Andy McCabe, deputy director of the FBI, that there's no way he gets elected, talking about Trump. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. So these two investigators, this FBI lawyer and this FBI agent, via this text are talking about a discussion they had in the deputy director of the FBI, Andy McCabe's office, about an insurance policy in case Trump wins. This has been an open sore on this investigation for a very long time. I, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Lee Smith, Jeff Carlson, Chuck Ross, and others. We've been wondering for a long time, what was the insurance policy we're talking about? Now with the IG report yesterday, I didn't cover it yesterday because we didn't have a lot of time left after decimating the IG report piece by piece. It's now starting to come together. What was the date of that text? This is a quiz show today, audience.
August 15th.
I hear you all in unison. August 15th. Now let's go to the IG report and check out what else happened on August 15th. Because remember, this is the date they're meeting in Andy's office to discuss the insurance policy. Let's read through this from the IG report. Quote, officials determined there was an insufficient basis to proceed with a FISA application concerning Papadopoulos. Wow, they were looking for a FISA on Papa D too? And the Crossfire Hurricane team investigating Trump never submitted a FISA application for Papadopoulos. They probably got shut down, folks, so they had no information. Listen, check this out. With regards to Carter Page, on August 15, 2016, the Crossfire Hurricane team requested assistance from the FBI's Office of General Counsel to prepare a FISA application for submission to the FISC. Really? On the same date? They're looking at Page now too? However, after consultation between the FBI General Counsel and attorneys in the Office of Intel, OI, and the Department's National Security Division, responsible for preparing FISAs and appearing before the FISC, the Crossfire Hurricane team was told in late August that more information was needed to establish probable cause for a FISA on Carter Page. Okie dokie.
Right.
Remember the discussion yesterday we had about the Papadopoulos Downer meeting and how it's the telephone game indicated us. Don't worry if you didn't catch yesterday's show. I'm going to explain that. Joe gets it, but I'm going to explain that in a minute. That's how we're going to tie this in. But remember what we're talking about here. What happened on August 15th that the FBI, these two agents and a lawyer, this agent and a lawyer, are texting each other on August 15th about an insurance policy. Clearly, on August 15th, as we now know from the IG report, we now know they're told by the Office of General Counsel, the National Security Division, and others that the FISA warrants they have been seeking have been, past tense, seeking on Carter Page and Papadopoulos aren't going to fly because they don't have information indicating a crime has been committed in violation of U.S. law. By default, they don't have the information. So they must run into McCabe's office and say, hey, we need some kind of insurance policy to do what? To get this FISA. What is the insurance policy? Keep going. So we see where we are now?
Yeah.
Meeting in Andy's office, insurance policies discussed. Same day they find out Page and Papadopoulos FISAs are not going to fly. Let's go on. What else happens August 15th, the date of the insurance policy text? This is where this just gets delicious. Check this one out. So, on August 15th, quote, according to records reviewed by the IG, Jim Comey received his first formal briefing on August 15, 2016. Though as described previously, McCabe's contemporaneous notes suggest Comey may have been told about the friendly foreign government. Meaning Downer. The friendly foreign government is Downer and the Australians giving them the tip about Papadopoulos. So, I know some of you entrepreneurial types are starting to put this together. They meet in Andy's office, talk about an insurance policy. An insurance policy to get a FISA warrant they couldn't get because they didn't have the PC. They then brief Jim Comey. And that's the day they brief Jim Comey. And it's pretty sure Jim Comey knows about the tip from the Australian diplomat Downer about Papadopoulos and the so-called Russian dirt meeting. Some of you are putting this together.
Yeah.
Let's go to... Let's open the door. Door number three. What's behind door number three in the IG report? This is where they sum up what the insurance policy actually is. This is going to be a little long. It's two paragraphs. I want to read this to you, though, because this describes the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's clear as day now. The insurance policy they threw out, quote, in Andy's office was the Downer tip from Australia that's now going to allow them to get the warrants to spy on Page and Papadopoulos they could not get before. It's laid out right here. Let me read this for you. The Crossfire Hurricane team, quote from the IG report, told us that the proposal for FISA coverage targeting Page originated from the team, not an instruction from management. The team also told us that its interest in obtaining a FISA was based upon Carter Page's prior contacts with known Russian intelligence officers, which the team believed made him the most receptive to receiving the offer of assistance from the Russians reported in the friendly foreign government information provided to the FBI in late July. Case Agent 1 said that he had hoped that emails and other communications obtained through FISA surveillance would help provide valuable information about what Page did while in Moscow in July of 2016 and what Russian officials he may have spoken with. Wait, take that down a second. I want to put it back up in a minute. You understand what's going on here? Let me walk you through what likely happened in McCabe's office now. Now, is it coming together, Joe? Are you getting this? They walk into McCabe's office with this desire to get a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign team, Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, who they've been looking at for a long time. Oh, I haven't even gotten to that yet. They don't have the information, the probable cause to get a warrant, because neither one of these two did anything wrong. Right. They've got nothing. Zero. So they're sitting there formulating, instead of saying what any honest law enforcement officer with integrity would do, Joe, hey, there's no probable cause indicating these guys committed a crime. What do you do, Joe? Nothing. You move on. Yeah, right. There's nothing to do. It's over. That's not what they do. They double and triple down and look for an insurance policy. The insurance policy is the FFG tip, the friendly foreign government tip, which is what? The tip from Downer, who met with Papadopoulos in a bar in London and alleges at that time that there was, that Papadopoulos seemed to indicate that there was a Russian offer of help to us. Us, that's important. He doesn't say to him, Papadopoulos. He says to us. The FBI now knows they have nothing on Papadopoulos, even with the us tip. But Papadopoulos didn't say the Russians were offering to help him, allegedly, to Downer. He said they were offering to help us. As I just read to you, the FBI then takes that us tip, put that back up a second, and interprets it to mean that Carter Page, quote, was the most receptive to receiving the offer of assistance from the Russians reported in the Australian tip from Downer. Notice, Papadopoulos doesn't tell Downer the Russians want to give information about Hillary dirt and the DNC dirt to Carter Page. The FBI just assumes that because, as I just reported to you in the IG report, Carter Page, Joe, has had contact with Russians before in the past. So he's clearly the most receptive to Russian information here. What did the FBI actually do? The reason Carter Page had contact with Russians before that made him, quote, the most receptive was because he was working with the CIA on behalf of the United States government to nail these Russians to the wall. Folks, do you understand how disgusting this is? I was chatting with Paula before the show because she was, you know, she's interested in this, but she had some work to do and she can't believe it either. You're telling me we tasked Carter Page, our central intelligence agent, with contacting Russians he knew to gather information on a patriotic mission on behalf of the U.S. government. A former Naval Academy graduate, Carter Page, we tasked him with that. The FBI then turns around and manipulates an email, ignoring the fact that Carter Page was contacting Russians on behalf of the government, and makes it seem like those contacts are evidence of Carter Page spying for the Russians. Ladies and gentlemen, this really happened. This really happened. That was in the IG report. Nicole Wallace and the other left-wing media lunatics were actually celebrating as an act of vindication on behalf of the FBI. Can you believe this? Put up that prior one. Let me just add up for a second, if you don't mind. I don't want to keep jumping around. But they lay it out all in the IG report. It's right there. That was the insurance policy. The foreign government tip from Australia was the insurance policy to retroactively go back and make Carter Page look like a Russian agent, even though they knew he was a CIA asset. That piece goes on. For these reasons, on August 15th, the same date as the insurance policy text, folks. Excuse me. The FBI agent emailed a written summary on Carter Page to the Office of General Counsel, Unit FBI Chief. The FBI agent actually emails the OJC you're trying to spy on Carter Page, even though they know he's a CIA asset. The FBI agent states that he thought the information provided, quote, a pretty solid basis for requesting FISA authority, basically to spy on Page. This is incredible. It goes on. The summary, which a staff operations specialist prepared, briefly described Page's Russian business and financial ties, his prior contacts with Russian intel officers, and his recent travel to Russia. According to the FBI, who emails the summary on August 15th, both he and the SOS believed that they had enough information to establish the probable cause necessary to request FISA authority on Page. Listen to this crap. The FBI agent told us that Page's contacts with known Russian intelligence officers provided, quote, a pretty good link for a FISA. Do you believe this? A pretty good link to spy on him while he's spying on behalf of the government on Russians? Folks, this actually happened. That email is sent on the same day as the text about the insurance policy. So the insurance policy was, now we know, and I got another one on this in a second. Now we're crystal clear. The insurance policy was the FBI knowingly lying and manipulating about Carter Page, pretending he wasn't an asset for the CIA, but an asset for the Russians, and manipulating emails to make a FISA judge believe what were benign, mundane contacts with Russians, and some that weren't benign, but were on behalf of a U.S. government mission, were actually evidentiary data points that Carter Page was a U.S. spy worthy of spying on by our own government. This is incredible. So we now can answer two questions at once. I answered for you yesterday with the US line. The Russians are trying to help us, as the foreign friendly government tip alleged. Now we know why, despite the conversation between Downer and Papadopoulos, the FBI didn't try to get a warrant on Papadopoulos. They tried to get a warrant on Page because they interpreted the US as meaning Page. He definitely contacted the Russians on behalf of the government, our government, you knuckleheads. Gosh, can you be this stupid? It goes on. Let me put up this final piece. This is all in the IG report, media people. I don't know how you missed all of this. Again, if you're not tuning into this show, you're missing this. On or about October 17th, a couple days after the insurance policy tax, in response to Crossfire Hurricane Team's prior Carter Page name trace request, the team received a memorandum from another U.S. government agency, likely detailing, folks, its prior, likely the CIA, detailing its prior interactions with Page, including that Page had been approved as an operational contact for the agency from 2008 to 2013. Hold on a second here. So now they know, by August 15th, I have no doubt, they are getting word from the CIA that this, stay away, this is our guy. They put an email in an email request. 2 days later, they get firm email, written confirmation, this guy's a CIA asset, Carter Page. Here's what they do. Now they know. The memorandum, likely again from the CIA, also detailed the information that Page had provided to the other agency concerning his prior contacts with Russian intel officers. As detailed in Chapter 5 and 8, the Crossfire Hurricane Team did not accurately describe to the Office of Intelligence the nature and extent of the information the FBI received from the other agency, which we found was highly relevant to an evaluation of the FISA request. Gee, you think Michael Horowitz? Listen, I'm not here to pile on this dude. I'm just telling you, that is a mild way of putting it. You think it may be highly relevant that the guy you're trying to spy on for contacts with Russians was contacting Russians on behalf of our own intelligence agency at the behest of the U.S. government? Maybe highly relevant? A little bit. Just a tad? A smidgen? Just a nugget there you may want to include? And then they manipulate the email. Carter Page was a source for the CIA. Hey, someone should insert not in there. Carter Page was not a source for the CIA. Reminds me of that thing about ONA, yeah. The Office of Net Assessments, that was paying Halper the whistleblower complaint. Remember that? They deleted the word not?
Yeah.
They're like, he disclosed classified information. It said he did not disclose. They really have a problem with the word not. The federal bureaucracy in the swamp has a real issue with the word not. They delete not and insert not when not is not what they want to say. It's unbelievable that this is, what did I tell you from the start? This is a spy story for imbeciles. This actually happened. The whistleblower in ONA did not disclose this classified information. Delete not. The whistleblower did disclose classified. It totally changes everything. Carter Page was a source for the CIA. Insert that not from the ONA report, whistleblower guy. Take the not out, put it there. Carter Page was not a source for the CIA. Ladies and gentlemen, you are paying these absolute dips for this.
You have the right
Your
to remain stupid.
Your tax dollars paid for this.
Yeah.
This is hard to fathom. This actually happened. Yeah. I should write a third book. This is a spy story for absolute imbeciles.
My goodness.
Now we know exactly what the insurance policy was. Exactly. Now, in case you think this was all new and this spying was new, again, my first book was called Spygate, not Trumpgate, for a reason. I got a devastating little nugget that has, again, hat tip 279, credit where credit is due, that even escaped me when I first saw it, that I promise is going to blow your mind because nobody's talking about it, and oh, it's in there. This gets good. My final sponsor of the day, Genucel. We love Genucel in this house. I've got to use it before I go on the air because, you know, you get the turkey necks, you get those fine lines and wrinkles. You want to get rid of them. There's the he always shows up every single time. We love Genucel in this house. My mother-in-law loves it too. It's a great product. I ask you to go check them out. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only 2 weeks left with Chamonix's Christmas and holiday sale. Time's running out and their best promotion of the year. Imagine getting rid of that double chin turkey neck gone with the famous Genucel breakthrough jawline treatment with MDL technology. From now until Christmas, get the classic Genucel for eye bags and puffiness absolutely free. Plus Genucel's immediate effects for results in 12 hours. Look 10, 15, even 20 years younger right before your eyes. Got a hot date this weekend. Check out Genucel. Guaranteed 100% of your money back. Your order today is even more special. Chamonix partnered with Women Rising to give the same exact package you get to a woman seeking support and assistance from domestic violence. Go to Genucel, GENUCEL.com. Enter Dan30, that's Dan30 at checkout. Support the show. For an extra special discount, your order today includes Genucel XV anti-wrinkle treatment and will be upgraded to priority shipping for free. Order now and get surprise luxury stocking stuffer just in time for Christmas Day. Get your Genucel holiday package at Genucel.com. Genucel.com, promo code Dan30 at checkout for an extra special discount. Check that out today, Genucel.com. Thank you for supporting the show. So this little gem was uncovered in the IG report. And how everybody missed this, I'm not sure. Without further ado, throw that up, Paula, if you wouldn't mind. We even were kind enough to circle it for you, my good buddy there. Look at this thing. The use of confidential sources other than steel and undercover employees. This is from the report. Let me quote to you something. And we even circled it for you YouTube viewers. As discussed in Chapter 10, we determined that during the 2016 presidential campaign, the Crossfire Hurricane teams tasked several CHSs, spies, which resulted in multiple interactions with Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, both before and after they were affiliated with the Trump campaign?
Wait.
Time out.
All right.
Hold. It's Braveheart. Hold. Remember that? Hold. We need the spears. Remember that with the horses?
Mm-hmm.
Can you throw that up again? Did I just read that? Am I crazy? But yeah. Again, thank you, 279, for your handy dandy Adobe Photoshop stuff here. This is really high tech. They were spying on multiple interactions with Carter Page and George Papadopoulos before and after they were even affiliated with the Trump campaign. Okay, let me translate this for you, what this means. Now, not only do we know they were spying, but why have I insisted to you for years now that this is a spying scandal about the Obama administration and not specifically a Trump scandal? Folks, what was George Papadopoulos doing before he joined the Trump campaign? Oh, that's right. He was on the Ben Carson campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, how many campaign operatives and campaigns exactly was the FBI when their confidential human sources spying on, and why? When is it announced, Joe, that Carter Page and George Papadopoulos were going to join the Trump campaign? March of 2016. Mm. How does it happen? March of 2016, Donald Trump's in an editorial board briefing with the Washington Post. He's asked the question. They say, hey, listen, no foreign policy advisor wants to work for you. They're trying to hit him. They're like, they're all going for Rubio and Cruz. They don't trust you. Donald Trump whips out of his pocket a piece of paper, says, I have foreign policy advisors. Check these guys out. I got Carter Page. I got George Papadopoulos. Of course, right after that, notes are taken. What happens? All of a sudden, activity around Carter Page and George Papadopoulos starts to spike dramatically. Folks, this is a massive, massive scandal. Let me just put the headline in so you understand what I'm getting at, because I got to move on to other stuff. I don't think they were just spying on the Trump campaign, folks. Did you miss that little nugget in there? More on that one in the future. I don't know how I missed that, by the way, but I did. No more. We got it now. It's good to have good sources out there. All right, our final portion of the show today. Folks, Rachel Maddow has lost her mind. I don't know what Roswell Rach is doing. But clearly at this point, she's not reading the same report we are. I don't understand why a self-professed liberal like MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, who claims to believe in civil liberties, big R rights for all this stuff. It's all nonsense to her. It's not to us. I stood against the Patriot Act a long time ago because I'm an actual civil libertarian, unlike her. So now she knows clearly that the FBI spied multiple times, and may have spied before and after on people on the Trump campaign who were involved and affiliated with other campaigns. She doesn't care about any of that. She goes on her TV show and spouts this complete nonsense because she wants to personally attack Bill Barr to save her reputation, which is now lost and is tattered and is wrecked because she promoted a hoax for 2 years and is now losing her audience because of this. Watch this segment from the Maddow show where she completely face plants and humiliates herself on national cable TV in an effort to defend government spying. Check this out.
The inspector general debunks that there was any sort of anti-Trump political bias that was motivating or driving any of these decisions. They debunked the idea that the Christopher Steele dossier of opposition research against Trump was the basis for opening the FBI's Russia investigation. It absolutely was not. And, oh, by the way, no, there was no spying on the Trump campaign.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't, I guess you could, I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Spying did not occur, according to the Justice Department. Justice Department's Inspector General report came out today concluding definitively that the Trump campaign was not spied on. Which you would, I mean, given the seriousness of the allegation that the Trump campaign was spied on, given the fact that the attorney general made that allegation, right, while giving sworn testimony in Congress, that he threw that out there, now that his own Justice Department has concluded, no, they weren't spied on. Under normal circumstances, that would be the occasion for the Attorney General to resign, right? From having thrown out an allegation that serious, that grave, with no reason for doing so, and then being disproven, under normal circumstances, a senior government official having been caught out that badly on something that serious, you might expect a resignation. Rather, what we actually got today was Attorney General William Barr releasing a statement taking issue with the findings of the Inspector General's report and basically saying he doesn't believe it, trying to spin the findings of the Inspector General's report to make them seem much more in line with the kind of crazy criticism that he and the Trump White House have been promoting for months.
Well, folks, I'm not sure she's well. I'm almost have to like take pity on her. I'm not sure she's well. So let's just be clear here, just to kind of sum that up. So for over 2 years on your eponymously named show, you promoted a thoroughly discredited and debunked nonsense collusion hoax, which has been eviscerated. You humiliated yourself. You staked your reputation on a documented hoax no better than the Loch Ness Monster. Actually, the Loch Ness Monster, there's more evidence of that than there is the collusion hoax. I don't even want to disparage Nessie like that. There is no evidence, anything you've told your audience, for they have wasted your time for 2 years. Rachel Maddow has wasted your time if you tuned in. She lied to you for 2 years about a known hoax. She doesn't read the IG report, which clearly documents the extensive use of spies, confidential human sources, and video, audio, technical human surveillance on a political campaign. And she comes to the conclusion after 2 years of hoaxing you that the Attorney General should resign, not Rachel Maddow. Rachel, seriously, she's not well. I don't know if in their editorial meetings, they're sitting there trying to understand and salvage, put together a strategy to tactically save their battered reputations. But they are not well, these people. They are either buying into a hoax intentionally because they're muting their own IQs, or they are intentionally lying to you with the hope history will be kind to them. Some people, now this block is going to be media faceplants. Some people are getting it. Let me put up this Rolling Stone. I never linked to Rolling Stone. They have done a lot of damage to the media atmosphere with a lot of their stuff in the past. But there's one reporter out there who's actually gotten it for a little bit. Check out this piece of Rolling Stone. It'll be in the show notes today. I'm actually going to give you a link to it. It's worth your time to read it. Matt Taibbi, who understood this is not a conservative, understood a long time ago the media was promoting a hoax, has a piece out today called Corroboration Zero. An Inspector General's report reveals the Steele dossier was always a joke. Folks, you should look at the piece. Taibbi's no conservative. Some people out there are trying to salvage their reputations. This guy is no conservative. T.A. Franks, another one who's been skeptical of this for a long time. Roswell Raich does not care one bit. She is going down with it. What did we say, Joe? Damn the torpedoes, man. Full steam ahead. The beatings will continue until morale improves. Why are you? I'm dead serious. Why are you tuning into this show every night? She was wrong. She was wrong on everything. You wasted an hour of your night every night for 2 years on a show promoting a hoax. A hoax. She's not the only one. At Technofog has this Twitter going. Technofog has a Twitter thread. I want you to look at some of these. Here's a Washington Post headline about Greg Sargent and Paul Waldman, who should immediately resign as of today. Check this headline out. The Plumb Line from February 2nd, 2018. The Nunes memo, which was now nailed dead to the wall accurate. The Nunes memo is out. It's a joke and a sham. The only joke and sham are the disgraceful Greg Sargent and Paul Waldman, who really should resign. and apologize to their friends, family, and everyone else in disgrace for embarrassing themselves, and they should issue a full, complete retraction and apologize to Devin Nunes. They won't. They have no dignity. Here's a New York Times headline about the famous pee-pee tape, which we now know was obviously, to anybody who read it, an embarrassing joke on the media. New York Times took it seriously. Russia's sexual blackmail didn't die with the Soviets. New York Times, January 11, 2017. Pee-pee tape stories in the New York Times. The old gray lady apparently had a bladder problem. This is the LOL section of the show. Add your emojis as you see fit. Here's Shane Harris, the intelligence reporter for the Washington Post. Twitter, January 11, 2018. This notion that Steele's memo has triggered the FBI investigation still persists. Here's another one. Yes, I'm telling you, the dossier was not used as the basis for a FISA warrant on Carter Page. Nice job, Shane. Good job. You have really great sources. Top notch. Well done, buddy. Here's expert legal analyst. And by me expert, I mean non-expert legal analyst at Brad Moss Esquire, who has to throw Esquire in his Twitter handle.
Esquire!
He wants apologies, Joe. In July of 2018, he wanted an apology from every pathetic hack lawmaker and pundit who went out and made it sound like the dossier alone was used to get the Page FISA warrants, or the DOJ somehow concealed the source of the info so as to trick the FISA judge. Nice job, buddy. Oh. Ooh, well done. I'm sure your law school is very proud, Brad Moss Esquire. Let's go to Will Wilkinson. Will Wilkinson of the New York Times. In a tweet, February 2nd of 2018. Get it straight, guys. The R candidates campaign, the Republican candidates campaign, bought on a guy already under federal investigation for shady Russia dealings. Two, the dossier was financed first by Republicans and then by Democrats. Wrong. Contains much credible and now confirmed info. Nice. Third, the dossier info wasn't grounds for issuing the FISA warrant. Nice job, Will. Really well done, buddy.
Get away from the fan!
Please. Yeah immediately.
Immediately. Stuff's flying off of that fan! Spite.
Doesn't matter, Joe. We will not get an apology from any of them.
No, sir, Dan.
All right, folks. Maybe we won't. Thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Again, I'm paying attention to the Horowitz briefing now. I'll have the highlights for you tomorrow. Do not miss tomorrow's show. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Bongino. Go check out BonginoReport.com. Subscribe to our newsletter, Bongino.com/newsletter. Stuff is all free, folks. Paid for by sponsors. We really appreciate it. I will see you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud and follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.